Welcome to Between Two Chairs, Demystifying Commercial Real Estate, the podcast that brings you the latest insights and trends on the South Florida commercial real estate market with your hosts, Fernando Arencibia Jr. and Jennifer Wollman. In each episode, we dive into the world of commercial real estate and break down complex concepts to make them accessible for everyone. Whether you're a real estate professional, a curious investor, or just interested in the South Florida market in general, Between Two Chairs is the podcast for you. So pull up a chair and join us.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Between Two Chairs. My name is Fernando Arencibia, and with me, as always, is the refreshed Jennifer Wollman. After a trip into the Andes Mountains, she is back and has acclimated.
True, true.
How are you, Jennifer?
I'm great. I'm great.
Well, I know that, I know it's been a hustle and bustle. Not only did you have your trip, but then you came right back into, obviously, all of the work that you've been doing and the women's real estate conference. You know, I'm really excited because I don't get to attend the women's real estate conference, but I hear so many great things and there are so many great people that I know that attend. And I believe today we're going to do a sort of a breakdown of the conference, which I'm very excited about.
Right. So this year was the fifth annual Women's Investment Summit, which is hosted by Beth Azor. And she started the summit, obviously, 5 years ago to get more women that are in the commercial real estate industry to start investing in commercial real estate because she had heard a figure that said something to the effect that only 3% of women invest in commercial real estate. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those, and a lot of women who do own real estate invest with their husbands, not so much on their own. So her goal was, we need to get more women investing in commercial real estate. So since then, this conference has expanded and grown significantly. And her thinking behind it was, if we put together a group of women where it's a safe space in a room and we can discuss fears and concerns, yeah, and provide support to each other, then we would get more people investing. So it's a great experience. I'm always amazed by the quality of the speakers that go every year and the effect that those speakers and just the networking and the sponsors that she brings on give to women. I mean, basically all of the sponsors she brings on are people that she uses in her transactions and her deals. So basically you leave there not only with a group of like-minded women and contacts, but you also leave with a full team to start your investing. And I ran into Veronica Malolos this year, who we both know, the founder of Capstack Commercial in Central Florida. Last year, she purchased 7 tickets for this year's conference for women and her family. They're actually almost done building their first family-owned commercial property in Central Florida. It's going to be home to a Jay Sterling's Wellness Spa and a couple of office tenants. So she actually, you know, broke through and started big time with developing on her side.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we invited a bunch of people this year too, both agents, and my daughter went for the second time because she enjoyed it so much. And there were a lot of mother-daughter groups this year where, for my part, I want my daughter to start investing a lot earlier, a lot earlier than I did. I'm trying to play catch up here. But I want her to start investing earlier. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the structure of the conference. So is it two days, 3 days? How do you guys structure it?
So the evening before, there's like a welcome cocktail. And then the next day is the full day. I mean, we start at 8 o'clock and I think we ended at 6. And that's back-to-back networking events and then speakers, and then another break for networking. So they do have a lot of opportunities for networking. And then towards the end of the day, so I want to say the last hour or two, you have breakout sessions with some of the speakers. So the speakers come up, tell you what they invest in, how they got started, what they overcame, you know, just kind of share their story and their journey. And then you decide, you get three, I think there are three 45 minute breakout rooms that you go to, and you get a pick out of the five speakers you saw that day, which ones you want to go to, and you do a deeper dive, and it's one-on-one, and they usually talk about the nitty gritty of either their first deal, or we had a speaker this year, Nicole Pendergrass, who talked about all the things that go wrong, because a lot of people, I mean, I'm included, you know, I'd hear people investing. I'm like, oh, they got so lucky. They got so lucky. That's such a great deal. And then, you know, over the decades of being involved in real estate, realized that there's no such thing as a perfect deal. No matter how much due diligence you do, no matter what you get into, how much background work you do, something goes wrong that you didn't foresee, or that you, you know, due diligence didn't reveal, or whatever.
Correct me on this. So you see this presentation, and then you get to have sort of a one-on-one.
It's not a one-on-one because everybody's breaking out into the room, but it's a much smaller group. So maybe out of the 200
so
to 300 people, and they're very specialized. So, you know, if you wanted to invest in multifamily, there was a multifamily. There were a couple of, there were like three different multifamily speakers there with different ways that they invest, different scales, different locations, et cetera. So you could go to that. There was a hotel group. There was a developer. So you got to go into that. There was a room just on due diligence and what to look out for in due diligence and some of the issues that come up that, you know, you find out after the fact, ooh, I never thought of having that part inspected. Mm. And then the second day, the first half is you have a little bit of meetings at the beginning or speakers, and then you break out into the last of the breakout groups. Mm. And then the conference, the general conference ends at around 1. And then at 1:30 for the VIPs, which is you can pay to be just a basic attendee, or you can pay VIP, which allows you an additional cocktail, an additional breakfast, more one-on-one, more intimate. And then you can do VIP plus the bus tour. And on the bus tour, you go and you either view Beth's properties or other properties that are open to investing, or that somebody's already purchased, and they tell you everything about the deal, and they break down everything, how they did the financing, how they did the fundraising, issues they ran into, if there are operating agreements with the operator. I mean, they give you, it's basically a blueprint of how to go and do this yourself. So that's basically the structure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the speakers. Was there anything that glaringly stood out to you about, you know, the lineup this year?
So nothing glaringly, but there were some great quotes, and I'm always amazed every year I go and I'm like, okay, what, you know, let's see what I'm going to learn. Let's see what I hadn't thought about before. And so there were a couple women who got started kind of by chance in real estate. One of them, Ebony Jones, she's the CEO of WeBuild. She started out with her family. They bought like a parcel of land in Central Florida. And then based on the parcels, you know, and she said they lucked out. It happened to not be in a wetland. And, you know, when they first bought their first couple of parcels, they weren't real clear on what they were doing. Luckily, they didn't run into any issues with the land. Then she got her contractor's license. She says she loves the smell of sawdust, that it should be bottled as a perfume, which got some fun stares. But she started out building spec homes in Orlando, and now she's moving into hotel development, which to me was fascinating because she's telling this story. And I literally looked at my daughter and I said, I bet she's talking about Tracy Prigmore. And Tracy Prigmore is a presenter who presented at Beth's, I want to say maybe her second or third conference. It was up in Orlando, but she's a woman who formed this. She has a deal pitch, and She Has a Deal is a pitch competition that she does every year, and it's to get women and minorities investing in hotels. And she's done a great job partnering with the big hotel flags, and now the hotel flags are actually encouraging minorities and especially women to invest in hotels. So this year, Ebony, or 2024, Ebony won the pitch battle. So now she's going to be developing her first hotel, which obviously takes a much longer time. But eventually that hotel will be something that will go out and will be pitched as people who want to invest. That was really cool. And one of the things that she said is that really resonated with me was she found that the greatest level of freedom, confidence, self-love, and success came from her being an entrepreneur. Until she found this role, she was kind of lost, not sure what she wanted to do, not sure what her purpose was in life. And all of a sudden, it kind of fell into place and was crystal clear. And entrepreneurship gave her that gift.
When you're looking at the array of presentations, the caliber of, or the things that people specialize in from among the speakers and then even in conversations, would you say that mostly the investments are in multifamily, in, you know, short-term rentals, you know, you mentioned hotels, you know, was there, a, or does it run the full gamut? Retail, office, industrial?
It runs the full gamut, and it just depends on the year. Like this year was heavier in multifamily than it has been before, but mostly because it's where some of the people started. But like last year, it was mostly people who started with hotels or retail shopping centers, and then and then grew. So it just depends. It just depends on the year. And I think the way Beth picks the speaker is more about the story and what the person overcame or how they got their start in investing, and then goes from there. There was also last year was also there was a lot of self-storage last year. This year there was also car wash, like somebody started with car wash and they invest in car washes.
Interesting.
Another person who was very, very interesting, and her whole theory is that real estate is like pizza, which obviously, you know me and pizza, you know, resonated. And she says, because where do you get more money if you're selling pizza? You get more money by the slice than you do selling the whole pie.
Interesting.
And so she kind of started out with that and found properties. She's out of Massachusetts and found properties that had additional structures on it that she could turn into ADUs. And she believes in unlocking wealth in your backyard, right? So what land do you have? What's the zoning allowed? What can you do with what's already there? And what can you add there to add more value? And so, like, for example, she found a triplex and it had a warehouse that was grandfathered in. It was kind of this weird, I mean, you look at it and there's nothing really like it in Miami because it's Massachusetts, right? So a lot older homes. That was the other thing. A lot of the speakers are from markets where the properties are really, really old, right? So Philly was one, Massachusetts, et cetera. So this was a triplex, and she converted the entire triplex and the warehouse into condos and sold them off as individual units because she loved the property, loved the location, but the money wasn't there and continuing to rent it out as a triplex. So she's super, super interesting. Now she's doing a big development on a farmland where, again, she found this farm just by throwing her idea out there. It turns out that a professor of hers was in listening to something she was presenting. He's like, I have a farm. I want to sell it. And she went out there and saw that there were six units that she could subdivide into 12. She could create a community center out of a barn. So she's doing this whole wellness community outside of Boston. So that was interesting. And again, something different that, again, not being so much on the residential side made me think, oh. And then another, oh, with residential was a woman who, her name is Marcy Surface, and she's the founder of Veranda Capital. And she invests in what she calls luxury student housing, which seems like an oxymoron. Mm. And it all came because her son was going to college and he rented a place and she walked in. She's like, oh my God, no way. Like, no, you can't live here. This is horrible. Yeah. And so she goes into college areas that have high, you know, that aren't commuter colleges, that have very high either foreigners or domestic foreigners that have to travel fairly far to attend the school. So they need housing, limited housing stock within the campus itself, close to campus, close to bars. And she buys like very nice, expensive homes, 5 to 6 bedrooms. Mm. And then she leases the whole property in one master lease, so it's not considered student housing and it still conforms to all of the zoning rules and everything. But then she creates community around that house and within that house with the parents. So parents who are attending new student orientation, she does a welcome cocktail so everybody can get to know each other. And then during like Parents Day weekend, they get together, they go to the football games together. They're all, so the parents also become part of the social fabric. And it was super cool because she's like, we all have a WhatsApp chat for each house and the kids' phone numbers go out to all the neighbors. They have to go out and introduce themselves to the neighbors. So if they have a party or there's a problem, the students get called and then I get called and then they have to go out. And she goes, and we rarely have an issue. The neighbors love us. We include them in the welcome parties and everything else. So
yeah,
it's kind of like they're another neighbor.
Is this the story? Because, you know, I spoke to a few, you were gracious enough to invite quite a few of our agents to join in the fun of the Women Investment Summit. And is this a story? Was this in Tulane University?
Yes.
Was that?
Yes. She started in mm-hmm. Tulane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tulane, and she has and Laguna. I think they have both in both of those areas, and they're expanding into other markets. So, yeah, again, something that I'd never thought of because I don't focus on the multifamily side and residential, but just super creative ways. Like, literally, to Pam's point, you know, where's the money in your backyard? What are the needs in your backyard? What's missing? I mean, Marcy saw something and she's just like, this isn't good for my kid. I don't want my kid to live this way. I'm never going to come visit. It's disgusting. And they make very, very good money. And now they have a group of investors. They start this fund where the investors go out, buy the properties, et cetera. So
let me ask you, now you've been attending, this is the fifth iteration of this summit. Obviously, we're huge fans of Beth Azor, you know, and the energy is very, very clear that it is very well attended, right? You have mm-hmm. about 300 people attending this and so I wanted to ask you, what are the biggest obstacles in women investing in commercial real estate? Is it access to capital? Is it know-how? Is it just, you know, getting a little push to take the risk? Is it, you know, lack of availability of deals? Where do you see and I can imagine that some of those things have shifted since the first conference till now.
So I think the main thing is fear, right? Mm-hmm. That was a big obstacle that most of them were like, oh, I don't belong here, or I don't know what I'm doing, or, you know, my gut's telling me to do this, but everybody I know is saying no. Capital, yes, capital is definitely an issue, which is why it's great that Beth refers her own lenders and people who do deals, she does deals with, because she knows they lend to women. Mm-hmm. you know, I think that's part of it. And then it's just, again, coming up with where you fit in. So I say I'm not a multifamily person. You know me. You're the multifamily mm-hmm. expert in our company. But I met, third year, I met Natasha Falcone, and she was investing, and I loved her story. And I looked at some of the things that she had invested in, and they weren't in my wheelhouse. I mean, one, because they're multifamily, but two, just the areas and the criteria that I personally have. But that year, the next year, she ended up buying a property in Hialeah, an area that I love, that I do believe in. It checked off all my boxes, and I wasn't the general partner, so I didn't have to deal with all the multi-tenant issues that that have kept me away from multifamily. And so I invested in that project. So the deals are out there. It's just more, do you want to be GP? Do you want to be LP? A lot of these women who started very, very young when they don't have fear and just had confidence. And they just did it, right? One of them was, she's super interesting. Her name is Jan Nguyen, and she's the founder of One River Capital. She's from Vietnam, and she was here going to school, getting her degree, I think, in biology. She was a scientist for a long time in Philly. But she got here and her family was still in Vietnam, and she bought, like, she describes the first place she bought. And I mean, it sounds like it was a total teardown in the outskirts of Philly, but she's like, it was the only thing I can afford. It had a tree, I think, growing through the roof. I mean, it really was like bare bones. And she just went in and started doing the work. And, you know, after school and after work, she went in and started working on it and built that up. And then she went from there. And again, she's like, I was too clueless to know any different, right? It was just the only thing I could afford. So the fact that it was, in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have bought it, but she ended up again making money on it. And it was what got her foot in the door and got her investing. And now she operates this fund and a ton of properties, and she quit her W-2 job. Mm. And this is what she does.
That's awesome. Let me ask you, tell me a little bit about the person that became a GC. So what was that story about? You know, were they already a GC before they started investing?
No, that was Ebony. Okay. That was Ebony, the woman who just loved the smell of sawdust.
Right.
And she said, you know, I think when they started building their lots again, it was like, I don't know what I don't know. And so how do I find out what I need to know if this is what we're going to do? And so she got her GC license.
Her approach was, I want to understand the conversations that I'm going to be having with other GCs that are actually going to do the work. Or did she?
No, she's
developing herself.
She's developing herself.
Nice.
I think that might have been how it started.
Right.
But then she loved that process so much that she got her GC. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, I think a lot of times it's like, well, wait a minute, I can do that better than that person can.
Right.
Or and it's just having the drive to go do that, or wanting to understand why it's done that way or why this problem happened.
Exactly.
So, that was Ebony.
All right. So, you know, we love the rules of threes. So what would you say are the three biggest takeaways for you of this year's Women Investment Summit?
Well, so I wanted to end with the quotes, and there, I think there are three, actually, now that you mentioned, I think there are three that Beth opened the summit with. And this summit was super special, the opening. Oh my God, there wasn't a dry eye in the room at the opening. But so there are three quotes. So these were her openings. And she said that her goals for the conference, you know, was think the frig bigger. Right. A lot of us don't think big enough of what's possible. Her second one was every great idea, every bold achievement happened because someone overcame fear. So that was a big theme. Right. Mm. And then the final one was between you and your next deal, between you and your first deal is a person. And with that, she introduced Stephen Battelle, the founder and chairman of Terra Nova. And he's the person who got Beth into her first investment after years of pushing her and trying to get her to invest on her own and listening to her excuses about how she didn't have the money. He took her to the bank and co-signed on a loan for an investment deal that they were putting together. And the rest, as they say, is history. And Beth went on. And so I love that quote, that between you and your next deal and between you and your first deal is a person. So, and that goes into what we always say about the real estate is a relationship business.
I love it. And how many tickets did you buy for next year? already.
No. I only bought one. I learned my lesson this year in doing it. And I'll probably buy more when they go on sale for the full public as we get closer.
Yeah.
But this year I did. The last couple of years, I haven't done the VIP and bus tour because I'd done it before. But this year I did the VIP and bus tour because I told Michelle, who you know, that we're going to be on that tour next year. We're going to have a property.
With your own property.
With our own property. So that's what I'm putting out there.
Amen. Well, thank you, everybody, for pulling up a chair, joining us on this great recap of the Women Investment Summit. As you know, we always put the links to all of these things that we're discussing, and always know that you are very much invited to this conference next year. Those of us who are not attending will just have to put up with this update again next year. So
bye, everybody.
All right, everybody.